Hello, lovely people, and welcome to Ask Margot, where you send in your questions and I give you the answer when you perhaps don't know how to find it. I'm Margot Coatsworth, and this is Ask Margot. I've just heard from my family clan who live in Vancouver, and they said that you can find our show and any radio program on an app called Garden Radio, as it picks up stations worldwide 24/7. Now, I didn't know that. So our little coast on this small island at the edge of the world is not so inaccessible after all. And reruns of Ask Margot are available on my website. Each episode, I introduce some aspect of myself and why I'm here. I've talked about my cooking, my writing, my therapy, and my belief in the transformational power of the words we use and the story we tell to ourselves and about ourselves. And I've talked about our connection to the universe or the divine. My little bit about me for the day is called The Balls in Your Court. This is something I think is so great, and I'd love to share it with you. It's a non-profit movement in its very baby stages, and it's the simplest, most powerful way each of us can make a difference to changing the world we live in for good. So I call it The Balls in Your Court. Can you imagine the cumulative effect of a world where every day everybody does one thing to make a change for good? You get to choose the thing that suits you. It might be to plant a plant or a seed in the ground. You might recycle something. You might pick up a piece of rubbish or phone someone who's alone. You might share your plenty or just share from what you have. You might help someone carry a load, physical, mental, emotional. You might just smile at someone who looks like they need it. There's no judgment and no telling anyone else what to do. Everyone gets to choose for themselves. That's the spirit of what this movement is about. There are millions and millions of us, billions. And the incredible cumulative effect of all of us doing one good thing one day would be spectacular. And then if we could do it again the next day and the following day, can you see how we could turn our world around? We would all be waking up in the morning thinking, what's our one good thing today going to be? Can you just picture the power of that with many people doing it every day? It's such a fantastic thought. I think of our planet and our life on this planet like holding a globe. I've got one of those squidgy balls that's a globe of the Earth. And with the balls in your court, I feel like I have thrown that ball to you. And you must catch it. Now you're on. Now you toss the ball to someone else and they'll pass it on. When you do your good deed, it'll remind you to tell another person about it so they understand. And I think we can start a kind of wave of good. One good thing, everyone, every day. There's a Facebook page for the Balls in Your Court if you'd like to be a part of this. I just think it's worth thinking about how the power of little things can add up to something great. We often feel that we're powerless because we're just one person. But if we're all joined together in a cause, there's enormous power in that. Let's get that ball rolling. Okay, our first question today is from Alex. And he says, I feel aging intensely. I feel I am not seen in the same way anymore, and it really affects my self-confidence. I don't mind being more deliberate and taking my time, sort of pacing myself, but I don't really like being viewed like I'm old and infirm, and that I might even be spoken down to because of that. In many ways, I feel smarter and stronger in myself than ever, even if my muscles don't quite show that. What's the best approach to deal with the undermining of a person who is aging? That's a great question. And I agree with you, Alex. it makes me hopping mad if I get a whiff of people treating older people like they're half-witted. It's rude. I was sent this by one of my family overseas, Jean, actually the same woman who told me about the radio station. It's a most perfect answer to this, and I think it's worth sharing. I have the full spectrum of age in my world, from tiny little new humans to people who are 100 plus. Hello, Rochelle. She's a local coast girl who I had the privilege of baking a cake for her 100th birthday, and she's as sharp as a tack. I think we have to stop having such low expectations of life and ourselves. This, people, is for everyone who feels a bit judged by aging or who's being treated like they are older when in their mind they're only 35. This doesn't sound entirely scientific, but I have looked up some of the information in it, which I'll tell you about as we go through. The director of the George Washington University School of Medicine. Now, I looked her up and she's Meredith Score. And she deals with the School of Medicine and Health Sciences. She maintains that the brain of an elderly person is much more practical than is commonly believed. At this age, the interaction of the left and right hemispheres of the brain becomes harmonious, which expands our creative possibilities. That's why among older people over the age of, say, 60, you can find many personalities who have just started creative activities. Of course, the brain is no longer as fast as it was in youth. However, it gains in flexibility. Therefore, with age, we're more likely to make the right decisions and be less exposed to negative emotions. The peak of human intellectual activity occurs around the age of 70, when the brain begins to work in full force. Over time, the amount of myelin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, M-Y-E-L-I-N, which is an insulating layer or sheath that forms around nerves, including those in the brain and spinal cord. This sheath allows electrical impulses to transmit quickly and efficiently along the nerve cells. So this facilitates the rapid passage of signals between neurons. Due to this, intellectual abilities increase in older people. It's also interesting that after 60 years, a person can use the two hemispheres of their brain at the same time. This allows you to solve much more complex problems. Professor Monchi, that's M-O-N-C-H-I, Monchi Yuri, from the University of Montreal. His research interests are neuroscience, Parkinson's disease, dementia, neuroimaging, and something else I can't pronounce. And he believes that the elderly brain chooses the path that consumes less energy. It eliminates the unnecessary and leaves only the right options to solve the problem. A study was conducted in which different age groups participated. More young people were confused while passing the tests, while those over 60 made more right decisions. Now let's look at the characteristics of the brain between the ages of 60 and 80. They are: the neurons of the brain do not die as everyone has said. The neurons and the connections between them simply disappear if one does not engage in mental work. Distraction and forgetfulness arise due to an overabundance of information. Therefore, you don't need to focus your whole life on unnecessary things, the trifles. From age 60, a person when making decisions does not only use one hemisphere of the brain, like young people, but both. And their conclusion is, if a person leads a healthy lifestyle, is mobile, has viable physical activity and is fully mentally active, intellectual abilities do not decline with age. They simply grow, reaching a peak at the age of 80 to 90 years. So they say healthy tips are: don't be afraid of old age. Strive to develop intellectually. Learn new crafts and creative things, musical instruments, painting, dance. Take an interest in life. meet and communicate with friends, make plans for the future, travel as best you can. Don't forget to go to the shops, cafes, and shows. Don't shut up alone. It's destructive for anyone. Be positive. Always live with the thought following, all good things are still ahead of me. So that was from the New England Journal of Medicine. I just found it really encouraging, and I've sent it to some of my older friends who also find it validating, because I think people know when they're still capable and don't like to be made to feel that they're not. If I let aging crumble me up, I'd be sitting at home knitting and drinking gin. Actually, that sounds quite fun. But did you know we have more than one local ginnery on the coast? Perhaps I should investigate that in the future. Anyway, this is about aging, not about gin. Thank you for that. Next question today. I was talking with a man the other day, and he said he would like intimacy in his life. Let's call him Roboman. He was genuine. But the thing about intimacy, and we're not talking about getting a quick fix or a brief physical close encounter. True intimacy is what we're talking about today. And that may seem like a goal, but it's not. It's the end result. It's the outcome of a journey. Do you hear what I'm saying now? It's not something you're aiming for. It's a result of something you do. It's a result of quality input. You simply cannot have fine, real quality intimacy without real quality attention and input. Think about that. Input equals output. So, Roboman, that's input into the other person, obviously. You cannot have gorgeous intimacy as you desire without dedicating yourself to the object of your attention or affection. I think it's time to decide what we want in our close relationships. And if you have one you want to have and hold, or one you're cultivating, or even one in your dreams, be sure you are giving it all it's worth. You know that saying that goes, give as good as you get? We think that's a bad thing, like a tit for tat. But what if it meant what it's actually saying? Give as good as you get. The emphasis on good. I think that's kind of cool. So it means we'll get back as good as we give. I don't know. It's a two-way thing. Actually, the truth is that you have to give before you get. So if you want more from your relationship, from the person you have chosen and who has chosen you, then you must give first in order to get. No input without output. Plant those seeds and see them grow. I know that sounds like a string of cliches, but they all echo the same law. It's the law of the boomerang. If you want better stuff in life, start by giving it out. Thank you, Roboman, and I wish you well with your future endeavours. Give it all you've got, because we only live once. Question number 3. This question is from Anna, and she's having difficulty with her daughter, who is not doing what Anna thinks she ought to be doing. She had a plan for her daughter that would help her to get a job and have a life and a future with some security, but her daughter is not playing ball. What, Anna says, should she do? She's tired of pushing and putting all her energy into trying to make things work for her daughter. So I asked Anna how old her daughter was, and she said 26. I used to say to my children that they were under parental control until they left school, say 17 or 18. We have to input the best we can as parents before that time, because once a child has grown up, our role changes. We must always be there for our children. That's a for life thing. We must care and support and give advice when asked for. Occasionally, we have to speak up and say something when we haven't been asked. But we no longer have the apron string connection. We cannot order and organise our children's lives, no matter how much better we think we could do. This is not what children are for. They are their own people, and they decide how they want to live their lives. I always hoped I'd be able to look at my children and see what their forte was so that I could help them with making progress into turning that into a career or a job or something that paid them well. I had no idea I would end up with an artist running a hospitality venture, a scientist thinly disguised as a personal trainer, and two lawyers disguised as daughters. Who could tell that? Maybe looking back now, I could figure that out, but at the time, I had no idea. It won't work, Anna, for you to decide for your daughter. You must first discover what she really loves. Please, everyone, if at all possible, do the thing you love. If you can't do it right now, then start making a plan. Take the course, work out the viability, get yourself into position. Start small, but choose the thing you love. Working takes up so much of our lives, we may as well enjoy it. Once you and your daughter know what's important to her, then you can offer to help her to find a way to make that thing she loves work in her life. You are optional support. You are no longer primary. I have a friend whose children were in their late 20s, early 30s, and she was still trying to tell them what was what. No, we can't do that. Stop immediately and get a hobby. Actually, I was going to say children are not a hobby, but that's not right, actually. Once they're grown up, children are no longer a job. They are just a hobby. This is my advice, Anna. Find out what lights your daughter up and then ask her what support she would like from you. Sometimes I think we speak to our children like they're on a lower level, but I think they arrive very wise. If you ask her how you can help her, what she would like from you, you might be surprised. Try it and let me know how you go. Number four and last on our list today is a question from Kathy. Kathy says, "My father is getting very involved with a new woman who seems very nice, but I'm worried because he was violent towards my mother. And even though he's older and more mellow now, I suppose, I don't know that he's confessed to his past sins. And if he hasn't, what might she be letting herself in for? Don't I have a responsibility to tell her?" My first thought, Kathy, is for you to put yourself in her position. Ask yourself, would you want to know? If that answer is yes, and I hope it is, then the only question is, how do you broach it? You might like your father to be involved in this too. If this was me, here's what I'd do. I'd firstly ask your father if she knows, and make him speak of it in front of her if he says yes, so you can be sure. If he says no, you need to tell him that he should tell her. Now, if he says no and he won't tell her, then you have to decide which is more important: keeping a bad family secret, because that's what that is, or your responsibility to another human being. To me, that's a no-brainer. It's actually not even a male-female thing, because it would go that way whether we were talking about men or women. You must make sure she knows. Then it's up to her to make a decision. Aging and mellowing do not make for change and forgiveness as of right. Change and forgiveness means someone has changed and then sought forgiveness. Personally, I think someone has to prove that they have changed from being violent. Words are not enough. There must be evidence. Nobody but nobody should be living under the threat that someone could turn at any time. We all know that in our hearts, in our inner man, that it's no way to live and that it's not right. Our thoughts can be messed with if someone has been doing that for a long time. So we may have come to believe that we're at fault. But in our deepest selves, we know it never feels right. It's never okay. You need to step up if you think someone is being messed with. It needs to be reported, not ignored. I always think if you put yourself in the other person's shoes, it's the best way to make a decision about what to do. If you would want help, if you were in their place, then make sure you offer it. The do unto others thing is a pretty accurate guide for doing what's right. Okay, that's enough of that subject now. Thank you so much for joining me today. And don't forget that you can write in with your questions to admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz or to me, margo@margounlimited.com, Margo with a T. And I'd like to say we also take complaints because they're kind of questions hidden as something else. But possibly my advice to you will be to stop complaining and count your blessings. Counting blessings is such a great thing if you're feeling grumpy or you're feeling flat. I call it the thank you game. You just start on a kind of little rampage of things. Thank you that the sun is shining. Thank you that I'm breathing today. Thank you that I've got this whole day of possibilities ahead of me. Do you get what I'm saying? Thank you for my family, my lovely friends. You just thank you for this great cup of coffee. You just start and go and feel it lift your energy up, lift your state. So let's go a little bit upbeat for the end of this episode of Ask Margo. Our message from the universe today is just perfect, I think. These words are timeless. This particular one I received in 2019. Thank you for your time with me. Here's the word for today. Another day, another plethora of opportunities and magnificent creatings. This is truly a new day. It's a day you rule. It's a day that's yours to seize, to possess, to control, like the puppeteer. Never allow yourself to think that someone else is the puppeteer. It's you. It's only ever been you. You just haven't known how to pull the strings. So take the stage and create your play. You be the director and producer. You be the designer and the actor and the star. Thank you.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.